Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, bladder problems may be embarrassing to discuss, but they do affect an awful lot of people. Urinary incontinence, where urine is involuntarily passed, it affects one in three Irish women and one in four Irish men. It can happen at any age, but it is more frequent as we age. So I'm joined by Clare-based GP, Dr. Maura Finn. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Very well. So many questions coming in on this one, because as I said there, it's something that people might just be a little shy about going to their own GP about.
Absolutely. And I can absolutely understand that, because it's emotionally upsetting. It costs a big burden financially, emotionally, socially. People are embarrassed, but it's so common. It really needs to be talked about. And like you say, one in three women, one in four men, that's with increasing age. But in women in particular, it happens at quite a young age with a lot of women. As a result of our anatomy and the fact that childbearing puts a huge amount of pressure on the pelvic floor area. And then menopause as well causes a lot of issues in that area. So, yeah, the more we talk about it, the less embarrassing it will be. And to know that there are options and treatments available will really help some people.
Yeah, and that's a really important message, that, you know, that you don't have to put up with it. If you're feeling embarrassed, if it's affecting your lifestyle, you can do something about it.
Absolutely. Now, what we do depends on the source of it. And obviously, in every situation, we have to make sure there isn't something more sinister involved, like a neurological condition or post-injury or post-surgery or something like that. But most frequently, it is very simple. And in particularly in, well, for men, it can very much be after prostate surgery. That's one of, or because of prostate issues. So that's a slightly different issue. But if we kind of concentrate maybe on the female presentation, it's so frequent, and it is almost always because the pelvic floor is weak and damaged, maybe post-delivery or pregnancy, or because of the lack of estrogen post-menopause. So there's many, many things we can do about it.
Okay, well, let's get to some of the questions. And this listener has suffered with incontinence for 9 years since giving birth by emergency C-section to my daughter. I have to buy and wear sanitary protection constantly. Now, she says she didn't go to the GP early on because I thought exercising would fix things, to no avail, and now I'm just too embarrassed. So this listener is, she's in her 40s, but she says that she has to change her clothing twice a day and shower regularly. It really interferes with doing spontaneous things.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the amount of women I see in the same situation, that they can't go for a run without having to change clothes with them. They know every toilet in town, and they plan their journeys accordingly. So it's a very common problem, and that lady shouldn't be embarrassed. There's probably a lot can be done. Now, emergency section, she didn't have a vaginal delivery. So a section itself wouldn't cause direct problems to the pelvic floor or the bladder, but the pregnancy itself would do. And at increasing age, then as well, and having had the pregnancy, which puts physical pressure on the pelvic floor, is probably what's happening here. And what happens is the pelvic floor tissues, or the muscles in them, are weakened. Sometimes they're too tense, but most often they're weakened. And as a result, they don't hold up the bladder neck properly. And that angle that's there to kind of help you not leak is actually damaged, or the angle has changed. And as a result, you lift, you cough, you sneeze, you laugh, you do something very simple, and you leak. And there can be pelvic floor exercises, the Kegel exercises, as we call them, that lady probably did, have a huge impact, and they really do work. But she needs to go to the next step at least, which would be going to a physiotherapist who is specifically trained in that area, and they are experts in this area. And there would be people who are experts in every locality around the country, you know, in pelvic floor physiotherapy. Sometimes they use TENS kind of instruments to help. Sometimes they use more kind of these weights that you use in your vagina to help you kind of control the muscles in your vagina. Sometimes it goes a little bit further when we need to use medication, or even what's called a ring pessary. Now, this is kind of a bit of a blunt instrument, but it actually does work for a lot of women, particularly when they're older. And it's a ring that we put into the vagina that pushes back the vaginal walls and keeps that angled so that the bladder doesn't leak so easily. But there's a lot of different things this lady can do. And even though she's in her 40s, 40s, there could already be an element of menopause as well. So she could be given some vaginal estrogen that might help her.
Okay, but, so there's plenty of things to try
loads
there.
Loads of possibilities, yeah.
Right, we're going to move to the men now. I have a male here in his late 30s and he says, I've started noticing that I'm getting up in the night to pee. Should I be worried that this could lead to incontinence or is this just part of getting older?
Well, he's in his 30s. He's quite young to have problems like that. The first thing we usually think of with men is prostate issues that would make you want to get up to go to the toilet. The other thing is really simple lifestyle stuff. So, you know, is he drinking a lot of coffee? Is he drinking irritant drinks that are actually affecting the bladder? Is he sometimes what can happen to anybody is that you empty your bladder, you're in a rush, you don't empty it properly, and there's what's called a residual volume, a very small amount of urine still left in the bladder. That's immediately irritant. So he might actually just be filling too quickly. So a trick for that for everybody, children included, is when you pee, wait, count to 10 and pee again and make sure your bladder is fully empty. He should also make sure that there isn't anything like diabetes or an infection or something else that's causing the problems. But it's not that common in men, and especially men in the 30s. So I would actually suggest he goes to his GP and checks that out.
Getting up in the night to pee is not common.
As common in men at that age. It is as you get older, but it's usually a prostate issue which happens as you get older. So 30 would be quite young.
Okay, so many coming in. Let's go to a woman who's a little older now, 66. I'm active and I'm fit. Sometimes I have to go to the toilet and urine can leak. I wear the mini pads all of the time. I get up twice during the night. My GP said to try pelvic floor exercises and if they don't work, I can go on some medication, but they may have side effects, so I'd prefer not to. What would you say to Mary? Do you think the medication is the next step?
Well, pelvic floor exercises definitely are the first step. But as you get older, and particularly a lady who's 66, her pelvic floor muscles are actually weakened through the lack of estrogen anyway. So the first thing I would do is actually give her some vaginal estrogen, because that will help the tissues, blood flow to the tissues and help them plump up a little bit more. So they'll be more effective and the pelvic floor exercise will work better. Then the next step would be maybe medication that works to kind of like stop you getting up at night and relaxes the bladder a little bit more and stops that urgency. And they can have side effects, but she won't know until she tries them. And frequently they're well enough tolerated. And then there, one type of medication is usually trialed first and then a different type of medication. So again, there's lots and lots of options there. I would also say the pads can be quite irritant. So that's a problem, you know. If she's wearing pads all the time, that can actually kind of, the vulval area can get a little irritated. So another reason to kind of use the vaginal estrogen, which would really help her.
Okay, so give that a go before you move on. And another person who did move on and says that they were given tablets, which they took for 2 months. Now, she's not saying what tablets that she was given, but she's saying that it didn't make any difference. And I'm now having to time myself when I go out every hour I need to go. Is there anything else out there? But you see, the problem is that we don't know what medication that person was given.
Exactly. And did she say what age she was?
No.
That lady?
No.
The vaginal, the ring pessaries may be an option for that lady, which would be it's a structural thing that'll push out the vaginal walls. Another thing that you do is Botox injections into the bladder, which actually relax the bladder. It's not where you normally talk about Botox, but it does work really well.
And is that a common treatment? Would it be hard to access that?
The urinary consultants, especially the urogyne consultants, would do this frequently because it's actually a very it's a very good treatment. And now it does need to be repeated every few months, you know, every maybe 6 to 9 months, but it's very good. Then there's surgical options as well. There's where you actually kind of lift up the bladder a little bit and kind of lift up the neck of the bladder. There's a sling procedure or repair procedures. Now that's a big deal, obviously, kind of undertaking a surgical procedure, but they're very effective. So it's really important to know that, you know, it's very, very rare to see somebody not having any options with this and having to put up with it. And then the other simple things like watching your weight, not smoking because it affects the bladder directly, but also coughing from smoking is one of the reasons you're going to be affected in your pelvic floor. You know, watching how you lift, avoiding constipation. If you have a full bloated, full bowel, that's going to push on your pelvic floor and your bladder as well. And avoiding irritant drinks like caffeine and citrus drinks and citrus fruits can actually be quite irritant to the bladder as well. So little things like that can make a difference.
All right. I have a 65-year-old woman here who just sounds really distressed, so I'm just keen to get it in before the end. So she recently had two episodes of getting the urge to urinate and then wet with no warning and just couldn't stop. I was mortified. I had to go home immediately. Now, she went to the GP, didn't have a UTI, had a pelvic scan. Everything was fine, but I don't know my next step apart from continuing with the pelvic floor exercises. I'm really anxious now and I'm possibly urinating too often just in case. And you can imagine why you'd be trying to mitigate against it happening again. So just looking for suggestions.
Well, again, first line would be the pelvic floor exercise that she's doing and the vaginal estrogen. I think it's actually, if there's one message from this, is that every woman over the age of menopause, unless there's a very real contraindication, which is quite rare, every woman would benefit from vaginal estrogen to help the blood flow and the substance of the pelvic floor muscles. So that would be one thing. She probably should consider going on medication though, because that kind of an accident that she had no control over is so emotionally disturbing and difficult for her that, you know, the safety net of medication might be a good idea.
All right, so keep pursuing the route that you're on and see if there's medication. This listener has an issue with my prostate, he says. It causes me to pee involuntarily. Is there much that he can do?
Well, that's really common. And with men, as they get older, the prostate nearly always gets thicker and heavier and enlarges. And that causes the need to get up at night to pee, the frequency side of it, dribbling sometimes, and poor control, like he said. So he really needs his prostate checked. He needs a digital rectal examination to see the size of the prostate and is there something sinister about the feel of it, and a PSA, which is to look for prostate cancer. But the two things have to be done together, and possibly there's medication to help that, or also maybe some of the lifestyle issues, but it is something that he needs to investigate a little further.
All right, Maura, that was a hugely popular one and we may have to return to it given the level of questions we had.
That's
coming
grand.
In
we
but
will.
Thank you so much, Dr. Maura Finn, who is our regular GP on the programme.